Sportscast, March 25th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on the sportscast.net. So the sportscast.net for the latest in sports news. Today's sponsor is InstaBible. Use InstaBible to create pictures. You can get the app in the Apple App Store for iPhone. Another big day for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cincinnati Bengals. And when it comes to free agency and more teams in the last 24 hours, joining us today, Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The main signing today was Ndamukong Suh re-signs with the Buccaneers, $8 million for 1 year, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Kailu, does this strengthen the Bucs with the Tampa Bay Bucs and a Tom Brady? Does this bring more spice to it?
I think this is a really good deal. Getting Ndamukong Suh on a one-year deal to return to the Buccaneers, I think it's a really good deal for them. Last year, he finished with 41 combined tackles, 22 solo, 2.5 sacks, 4 passes defended. I think this is a pretty good deal for them. You know, it's a one-year, $8 million deal. So I think it's a really good deal for them. Anytime you can get a guy like that who used to be good, who's fallen a little bit since that, but anytime you can get a guy like that on a one-year deal, a prove-it type of deal, I mean, you don't really lose much, especially when you can get a guy like that on a one-year, $8 million deal.
Suh was part of the league's number one rushing defense in 2019, and with Tom Brady's arrival, the Buccaneers' approach has suddenly shifted in dramatic fashion. Much like NBA teams are pressed to go all in when LeBron James is on their roster, the Bucs are expected to do the same, and retaining a veteran who is still effective at plugging gaps and taking a multiple blockers fit that bill. Kailu, are the Buccaneers like the LA Lakers of the NFL?
I don't think so just yet, because I think it's too early, and I think they also need to make other splash moves. I mean, the possibility, if they sign Antonio Brown, then they will be more like the Lakers. But I would not think so yet, because I still think that they got to make other moves. But, I mean, you never know. There's still time between now and training camp. So if they make more moves, right now I would have to say no. But if they make other moves, potentially they can be by September.
Speaking about having AB and Antonio Brown into the Bucs, do you think they need him? Because they have Mike Evans and Godwin. Do you think they need AB just to have the cherry on top?
No, I don't think they need him. I don't think they need him. I just think that, like you asked, if they wanted to be like Los Angeles Lakers, so I think they would need to make another splash or two. It doesn't necessarily have to be AB, because they have Goodwin, they have O.J. Howard, they have Mike Evans. But always the more the better. But I don't think that they really need him. But, I mean, if he wants to play with them, I mean, him and Tom Brady has kept a good relationship. So if they want that, then there's a possibility.
$8 million commitment for Suh over just one season is nothing for a team now facing a two-year window to make things happen. Suh will get to return to play for defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, who got the most out of his rising defense in the second half of 2019, and he won't have to worry about finding a new place to live. Sweet deal. Obviously, Tampa Bay's offense is great. Kailu, what do you think about Tampa Bay's defense?
I think it's going to be much improved because they got Shaquille Barrett and Todd Bowles. I think it's going to come down to their defense this year. But I think their defense can improve as it goes if they, like, focus on the draft, bring a suit back. Barrett improves. He's probably not going to have 19.5 sacks. But, like, if he can have somewhere close to that and they can get some other players in the secondary and they can just continue to develop, because they haven't made the playoffs since 2007. So if they can continue to develop that side of the ball, I think they should be fine offensively with Tom Brady and the weapons that they have. So if they can continue to develop on that side of the ball, they should focus on that in the draft and this coming up in the draft. So if they can focus on that, they should be fine.
Speaking about the draft, the Buccaneers are in – let me pull this up. They're in the 14th draft spot. They're projected to get A.J. Spinenza. He's an edge from Iowa. Do you think Tampa should strengthen more in their defense like strengthen that 14th pick for a defensive player, or you don't think it matters?
Yeah, I agree. I think they should strengthen their defense because you can still find skill position receivers, or even if you want to receive because they're pretty loaded. Even if you wanted to get like an offensive line, I still think they can address that a little bit. Even if you wanted to get that, you can address that later in the rounds. There are a lot of quality skill position players. So I think you can address that later in the draft, fourth round pick. You can get like a first round talent in the fourth round. So I definitely think they would be best served as drafting a defensive player in the first round.
NFC South, Kailu, is the Panthers, Tampa Bay, Falcons, and Saints. This is my order. And we'll see what your order is. My order would be first place would be Tampa Bay, second place the Saints, then the Falcons, then the Panthers. What is your order for the NFC South?
At the moment, I'm not ruling out the Saints because with the coronavirus, even though Tom Brady wants to work out with them technology-wise, he's still going to have to get on the same page as the receivers. I think that's going to be an adjustment. Also, going to a new conference, Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been there together. They still know each other, the system. They're still bringing back Michael Thomas. I mean, they lost Teddy Bridgewater, and they still have Alvin Kamara. He wasn't healthy for a full season last year. I think they're going to be much improved. They're still very formidable in the dome. They play really, really well in the dome. So I'm still not going to give up on the Saints. I have the Buccaneers at second right now, subject to change, and then the Falcons at third.
Now, the Falcons is a tricky one from this division, Kailu. They signed a lot of good people. They got Laquan Treadwell. Here's their offense right now. Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Laquan Treadwell, Hayden Hurst, Jake Matthews, James Carpenter, Alex Mack, Chris Lindstrom, and Caleb McGarry. How do you see this Falcons team?
I like their offense. I've always liked the Falcons' offense. For them, I love the Todd Gurley signing because it's a one-year prove-it deal. So I think it's really good for him. I mean, obviously he went to school back in Georgia. He's going to be very motivated in front of the fans. So I think him getting cut, I think he's going to have a chance to prove it. I mean, last year, even in a down year, he almost had 1,000 yards last year. So I think it's going to be a prove it. He's still young enough. He's 25. He's going to have something to prove. I mean, he went to Georgia, so he's going to have something to prove down there playing in front of the fans. So there's going to be a lot of his buddies there. So I think that's going to be great for him. Because having a player with something to prove is always great for the team, as long as he uses it to help the team. And I think their offense is going to be great, but I think it's going to come down to their defense. They don't have Vic Beasley no more, so I think a lot of it last year, they were very injured last year in defense, but I think a lot of it's going to be about what they do on defense. Dan Quinn came from Seattle. Some of that magic wiped off when he was the defensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach in Atlanta. I think some of that magic definitely thing. So it's going to be rough for them just staying healthy, you know, what they do on defense. Because last year they put up a lot of points with Julio Jones. They just couldn't really stop anyone on defense.
And that's
the second half when they were out of it.
Yeah, that's a big thing with the NFL. Even though you have a great power offense, you need to have a decent defense to be competitive in the league. Laquan Treadwell got signed with the Falcons. Kailu, what does Laquan Treadwell mean to you?
I think for them, it just gives them he's not going to live up to the hype, but it gives them another receiver to go along with Julio Jones. And I don't really have a problem with their offense. Their offense is going to be fine with Matt Ryan throwing the ball. Matt Ryan puts up points, especially in that dome. The South team, especially the Saints and the Falcons, those teams put up points. It's just, for the most part, the Saints have really got better defensively in the last couple of years because prior to that, the Saints under the Rob Ryan years, they were terrible defensively. I just think that the Falcons are going to have to like focus on really hammering home the draft and using most of their picks in the draft for the defense side of the ball.
You think like their coach is on the hot seat? Do you think he has to prove it this season? And then if not, he's out?
I thought Dan Quinn was on the hot seat last year, but especially how the Falcons were able to finish the year. I didn't feel like Arthur Blank, their owner, would bring him back. But, I mean, they say he's one of the nicest owners. So, I mean, I didn't think he would bring him back this year. So, probably this year. I thought last year he would be on the hot seat, but probably this year, I mean, if they struggle out of the gate this year, possibly he's on the hot seat again this year. But, I mean, I thought he was on the hot seat last year, and he was able to make it through. So,
with these weapons and hopefully a decent defense, I hope Dan Quinn can stay. But if he doesn't, if he can't play these things together – that could be an issue. Now, do you think this Todd Gurley will be the 2018 Gurley, or do you think more of the same of 2019?
I think it's all going to depend about how his knee is responding. I think that the Rams did him a favor. They didn't push him last year. They could have pushed him and made his knee worse last year, but they didn't push him. So I think it's going to depend a lot for his health. So if he's healthy, I think he can return back to 2018 Todd Gurley. I mean, he's still young enough to return to that kind of performance. But, I mean, it's all going to depend about his health.
It's quite interesting because Gurley was pretty much the head of that, like the L.A. Rams team a couple years ago. But we'll see what happens. Another special team that people are kind of talking about, it's the Cincinnati, Cincinnati Bengals, which they signed Von Bell, which they were agreeing on a 3-year deal. Huge deal or not a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. I think for the Bengals, it's more about getting players for their coach. I don't think it's like a big deal for them. It's a solid deal. I think it's a 2-year deal. It's a solid safety deal, but I don't like think it's like a big deal.
Something to definitely look at. With Bell, he has enjoyed a standout career with the New Orleans Saints, and he'll now look to upgrade the safety position in Cincinnati, which also could lead to Sean Williams playing more linebacker this year. So this move could wind up upgrading two positions. What are your thoughts?
I think it's very solid for them. I don't think it's a huge, enormous deal, but like it's very solid. He's an every down player when he's healthy in 2019. He set a career high 89 tackles in just 13 games played. I think it's very solid for the Bengals because when you're at the bottom, like you need players to work your way up. So I definitely think it's a very solid deal. And the fact that I don't think they overpaid for him. So I think the fact that they didn't overpay for him and you don't use your cap the right way, especially when you're a team that needs a bunch of different players and a bunch of different positions, I think it's a solid deal.
New York Jets, they have signed wide receiver Robbie Anderson for a 2-year, $20 million with the Carolina. Well, sorry. Former New York Jets wide receiver Robert Anderson got picked up by the Carolina Panthers for a good deal for $20 million. Was that a good pickup for the Panthers?
I think it was a good pickup for the Panthers. Anytime you can get him for a 2-year deal, I think he's never really shown flashes as the number one. It's a $12 million deal in the first year of the contract. He's 26. He got to a slow start in 2019. He still finished with 52 receptions, 779 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's averaged 15 yards per catch. So I think it's a solid deal. He's never really proven himself as a number one. He's never really had that breakout year. He's more like a number two or three. Carolina and that kind of deal, I don't have a problem with it. And for the Jets, this means that the Jets never really wanted him because if they wanted him, they could have gave him this amount of money, 2 years, $12 million deal. I think if they wanted him, they could have gave him that. But for the Jets, I mean, if they don't get Sam Darnold weapons in the draft, then I'm going to be a little more concerned. But losing Robbie Anderson is not a big deal. But if you don't help Sam Darnold in the draft, then I'm going to start to be concerned about what type of assets that they're putting around Sam Darnold.
Yeah, the rumor has it that the Jets might get Jerry Jeudy at the 11th pick. Do you think that'll be a good move?
Yeah, I think it's fine. If the Jets lost Robbie Anderson, which they did, I just think that they would have to draft a couple receivers to definitely help Sam Darnold.
Another thing to definitely look at, the NFL commissioner, Robert Goodell, says the NFL draft will be still on April 23rd through the 25th. A lot of NFL GMs are saying that they want to push it back because they're not been able to see players during pro days or see some physicals. Do you think it should remain in place?
I think it definitely should remain in place. I definitely saw a possibility for a broadcast studio event. I mean, you could have a broadcast studio event, and then you could have players mic'd up in different cities where they live. You just want to keep it as safe as possible in this time in this country. So you could definitely have a broadcast studio. You get their players' reaction through, like, FaceTime and their social media pages. The networks could have fun with it. It could be definitely a great television vehicle. You can maybe broadcast and stream it on YouTube. You could do some kind of cool things with that.
Yeah, I think ESPN has the rights to the NFL draft, don't they?
Yeah, ESPN has it, the NFL Network, and Fox just got it a couple years ago.
Okay, so they should definitely broadcast it live, definitely put it on YouTube or on Facebook, people that don't have cable access. But I do think, that's the thing. I mean, how many players out there that need to be reviewed? Obviously, Tua, is one of them. But you think like a player like Tua will be fine?
No, I think he's going to be fine. I think they have enough tape of the players. I think obviously seeing more and more tape is always going to enhance your ability. The more data, the more evidence, the better. But I think in this situation, I think NFL GMs, they have enough evidence. They've seen Tua enough games. I mean, you can just go back to old traditional scouting. Yeah, you want to see him in person. But, I mean, you have highlights. You've been to the games. If you're a scouting, you know what you're doing. You've been to the games. You kind of have a feel for players. So I definitely think that it's a little overblown that they say they don't have enough time to, like, study in the player.
What were your thoughts about Tua's video this past week?
I thought it was good. I thought he was moving pretty well after the injury. So I was very encouraged.
He is projected to go where, Tua? Where do you think he'll go?
I think he's still going to Miami.
That's a most predictions have him going to Miami, if not Los Angeles Chargers. But we'll see what Miami picks first. They pick first in the Chargers. Breaking news, the New York Jets signed Patrick Onsuwar for a one-year deal. He's a linebacker. And what are your thoughts about that?
I think it's good because the Jets, when they were good, they had like linebackers like David Harris in the middle of the field. So I definitely think that this is a good move for them. They obviously need to upgrade that position with some speed. The division is going to be very open this year, so they definitely need to look to upgrade that defense.
The Jets have a crowded linebacker room after re-signing Neville Hewitt and James Burgess Jr. They already have C.J. Mosley and Avery Williamson under contract, along with second-year L.B. Blake Cashman. The latter three are recovering from season-ending surgery, so adding insurance was important.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because when C.J. Mosley got hurt, we could see their defense with him and without him, so I agree.
Definitely to look at. Who do you think is winning in like the free agency race right now?
If I had to choose, I would probably go Cardinals, Buccaneers. I like what the Colts have done. I like what the Eagles have done, getting Malcolm Jenkins. So I would definitely go with those four teams. The biggest winner is obviously going to be the Buccaneers. But shortly, right after, I would go with the Cardinals, getting Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk that they already have. They have Isabella still there. Cliff Kingsbury, they're gonna score a lot of points. They're gonna obviously address their defense in the draft and an offensive line, but Larry Fitzgerald doesn't have to be the number one now. He could possibly be the number two, and he's gonna go to the Hall of Fame. And he could be the number two and have a receiver like Hopkins. I think it's gonna be great. They're gonna score a lot of points. They're gonna be way over a top eight offensive team in football. Kyler Murray's gonna be great for fantasy. I think they're gonna score a lot of points.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Cardinals are having a good offseason. The Buccaneers as well. I still think the Bengals having a good offseason. Atlanta is definitely looking good. We'll see what happens. Andy Dalton's still available, Kailu.
Yep, he is.
Where do you think he'll go?
I'm not sure what his market is. I mean, they were talking about Cam Newton's market. I'm not really sure what his market is because the quarterback positions are really filling up fast. So I'm not really sure what his market is.
Breshad Perriman going to the Jets. What do you think about that?
I think it's good because the Jets need receivers, so they're going to draft receivers. They also, I mean, he's like a third or fourth receiver, so the Jets are going to need receivers. I mean, losing Robbie Anderson, losing their number one, it's not a number one in the NFL, but losing their number one, I mean, the Jets are going to need receivers, so obviously helping that position in free agency and also through the draft and getting some guys that, you know, teams miss out on, I think that's going to be important for them.
A couple of other wide receivers signed yesterday. Was Funchess to the Packers. How about that?
I thought it was a good move for the Packers. I still think that the Packers need to draft a receiver. I view him as more of a number three. I still think the Packers could do better drafting. And they downgraded from Bulaga to Rick Wagner, who they got at right tackle. I still would like to see them draft another tackle. And maybe, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still 36. But if there's a quarterback like Jordan Love, if he falls to Green Bay, my best case scenario for Green Bay would be to take that quarterback, and maybe you could have a situation how Brett Favre and Rodgers. So he could sit for 3 years and, you know.
Speaking about Jordan Love, Kailu, seems like he's the wild card in this draft because he could go high or he could go very low. Where do you think will happen to him?
I think he's going to go high because the quarterback pressure of the draft will definitely get him to go high. But if he could fall at Green Bay and I could have like a Rodgers and Brett Favre situation, I would definitely love that. Although I would love to draft the wide receiver. If he's not there, we're going to draft the wide receiver. But if he's still there for Green Bay and he could sit for a couple years behind Aaron Rodgers, I would have no problem with that for 3 years. And then if he grows faster than we think, you could always trade a quarterback. And then we could get a lot of value back for him. So and I'll keep an eye on that.
Yes. Another quarterback in limbo right now who got released yesterday was Cam Newton, Kailu, available. Where do you think he should go?
I mean, Cam Newton, they're saying that his market's not really that great. I mean, obviously going to the Chargers would definitely help, but the Chargers are going to draft the quarterback. I mean, I don't think that he's going to be a backup. I mean, he's too big of a name to be like a backup. And I think that Cam Newton wants to play. You're coming off an injury. And also, he's going to be over 30. So, I mean, I think he's over 30. So, he's aging a bit. So, and also, you're coming off an injury. So, you're going to have to prove to teams that you can play. So, I don't think that he's going to want to be a backup. So, definitely a team like the Chargers. Maybe he's a bridge guy to the next quarterback if that guy's not ready. So, that possibly in the Chargers.
A lot of noise of him going to the Steelers, sitting behind Roethlisberger. Would you accept that move?
That wouldn't be bad for Cam, because if Big Ben has 1 or 2 more years, it'd be in Cam's best interest. Maybe off injury, he wants to play right away off an injury. Because if I was coming off an injury, I would kind of want to prove to teams, especially when it's in the Super Bowl in 2015. So if I was coming off injury, I would want to prove to teams. But if he has to sit behind Big Ben for a year and they guarantee him starting with the Steelers, especially with Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season, he went 8-8 with Devin Hodges and Mason Rudolph. That was a remarkable run for him, because I didn't think that would be able to happen. So, I mean, if he has to sit behind Big Ben for 1 year and with the Steelers, a big arm and big body, I think it might work.
And what's market? What is the market value for James Winston?
I think the market value should still be high for Jameis Winston. I mean, last year he joined the 30-30 club. He keeps both teams in the game. And it's great. He's thrown 121 touchdowns and 88 interceptions. So I think the market value should still be high for him. I mean, he's young. I mean, we know what he is. He's turnover pro. I mean, he's like a 4-touchdown guy and a 2-interception guy. So I think the market value for him, I think him learning, maybe he goes to New England to cut down some of his interceptions. Maybe he like learns like a new system. Maybe he sits for a year, gets some like, because he's always been great, even when he was in college at Florida State. So he's never really had that opportunity to sit and possibly learn. He's still very talented. I mean, he's 26. He threw for 5,000 yards last year. So he's still very talented. He just got to cut down some of those picks. If he's able to cut down some of those careless picks of his, I mean, maybe he could go somewhere and that he sits for a year. And then he comes, back the following year, and maybe he learns from it.
It's just his turnover situation. I mean, he can throw the ball, he can pass, but the thing is, it's very inconsistent. But, there's one game where he throws, 400 yards, and then, like, the next game he has, 8 interceptions. Great for fantasy, but if you have a lucky good game. But I think you're right, Kylie, who he might have to sit back a little bit. I think Cam's value is a little bit higher. Cam has has more experience, obviously. He has more playoff experience and, has more leadership than James Winston. Two different players, two different, levels of quarterbacks. But we'll see what happens. Very interesting, because this is a very loaded quarterback market right now. We got Cam Newton, we got James Winston, and Andy Dalton. And look at what happened to the Patriots. They just signed Brian Hoyer. It's going to be just Hoyer
Stidham.
Yes. Plus Stidham. Do you think they'll just cut it there, or do you think they're going to add in maybe Cam?
No, I personally think that they're not going to do this, but I personally think they should tank for Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. We know Bill Belichick. I mean, he's the GM of the team. I don't think that after 17 division titles in 20 years, and 6 Super Bowls, he's not going to get fired. He's the head coach and GM of the team. I personally think that they have the hardest schedule in football this year. Last year, they had the easiest schedule in football. But they caught Luke Falk when Sam Darnold had mono. They had a lot of – they caught Matt Barkley and Josh Allen when he had the concussion. So I definitely think this year they should entertain tanking for Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence in the following class.
Also, the Texans quarterback Watson, Deshaun Watson, will be a free agent next year. Do you think there'll be some teams eyeing for him?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think Watson, I think at the moment, I don't think he's very pleased with Bill O'Brien trading away his best player. And especially when you allow personal feelings to get in the way of business and it wasn't a work relationship and it was being reported as personal feelings, when you let that happen, I don't think that Deshaun Watson is too happy with Bill O'Brien. But with the quarterback situation, a town like Watson, I don't think that they're going to let him go, unfortunately.
Which there was a cryptic...
Unless it gets really heated.
Yeah, which there was a cryptic tweet that came out about a half an hour ago from Deshaun Watson. It says, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up with that? What is he trying to say?
I mean, I think in lateness terms, I think I don't think he's happy with Bill O'Brien. I mean, trading away the most consistent receiver on the team trading away the most consistent player in Hopkins over the past five seasons in receivers, I don't think he's very happy. And especially when you trade him and you trade him, if you wanted to trade him and to not get that volume return, the Giants got more for Odell than the Texans got for Hopkins. And to allow your personal feelings to get in the way of the work relationship, I don't think that he's pretty happy with Bill O'Brien.
But do you think Will Fuller can, you know, fulfill that spot where Hopkins is, you know, like gone? You think Will Fuller could fill that hole?
No, Hopkins is just a different guy. I mean, the last 6 years, I mean, he has, a lot of tremendous records. Hopkins is a different guy. I think Hopkins is number one. Fuller's probably like a number two or number three on a playoff team. I think Hopkins is just, he's just really special. And I don't think that you're going to be able to get that return of Will Fuller. I think I think Bill O'Brien hasn't shown the ability to draft. And also, he's made a lot of bad coaching in-game decisions, as we saw in Kansas City. In that game against Kansas City.
Definitely a team that's full of talent. We'll be eyeing what's going on with the Texans, which they just got David Johnson, which is not saying much. He was a great player 2 years ago, but hasn't had a good couple seasons in the past. We'll definitely be eyeing on the NFL. Anything else in the NFL you want to talk about before we go on to the NBA?
No.
Mark Cuban, Kailu, wants the league to return in mid-May. Do you think that's possible?
I think by the NBA, I get more concerned by the day that they're not going to be regular season games because especially what happened with Carl Anthony Towns and prayers to his family. I mean, his mother is in a coma. So I get more concerned that by the day that even though I'm hopeful there's going to be NBA games and it's fluid, I get more concerned that there won't be because you still need to play 5 to 6 games. You're not going to be able to skip to the playoffs. Anybody that suggests that, I think you're going to get a bad product. And although players keep themselves in game shape, there's nothing like being on the court, no matter how much you do on the bike. So I get more concerned by the day that they're going to have to cancel the season. I mean, they don't want to. They would try to play without fans. And I'm very hopeful that won't be the situation. But I don't think they return by May. It's very fluid. Things can change. But I think the earliest they possibly will return is by June because if more players get it and the situation with Carl Anthony Towns, I don't think that it's probably going to be safe to return by May. I think they probably reevaluate. I think they're probably looking at a June timeline and probably pushing the season to August and still playing 5 or 6 regular season games because you're still going to need those to be able to get the players in tip-top shape. Because remember, players aren't allowed to work out as a team. It's individual workouts with the assistant coach at the facility after they wipe down the equipment. So players are going to have to get back in, like, NBA shape. They're in shape, but they're going to have to get back in NBA shape.
Kailu is right. There's a lot of NBA players kind of trickling in with the virus. Two Lakers got contracted with the coronavirus, but they haven't mentioned who it was. Have any idea who it is?
I don't want to speculate who it was, and the reason why they don't mention who it is with the coronavirus, because I think it's out of, you know, safety for the players, and I think Kevin Durant mentioned who it was and we found out who it was. I don't think that they wanted that to be the case. Obviously the teams, because the situation what happened in New York where they were complaining that the NBA players were taking up the testing. So I don't think that they want to publicize who the players are for that, you know, safety reasons, because a lot of people are complaining that, you know, the rich people have access to the testing and that they don't. So I don't think they want to make a big deal who's getting the tests.
Who did Durant say?
Who did Durant say about what?
That, like, which Laker got the virus?
They didn't say who it was, but in New York, the mayor was complaining about how the NBA players have access to the testing. And so I don't think that there are going to be a lot of NBA teams unless someone goes out there and reports it and Kevin Durant obviously says about himself and Rudy Gobert if that happens. But I don't think that you're going to find out about who the coronavirus patients are in the NBA unless the players self-report it. Because it's a situation where the players, they want to report it, but there are people that think that they shouldn't have access to the test, and it's very unfortunate.
Definitely. We'll keep an eye on that on the NBA. Kailu says June. June seems a little bit more realistic than May. May's not impossible, but it's going to be tough. I know Mark.
I hope the earlier the better, to be honest.
Are you bored, Kailu?
No, I'm not. I actually hope they play NBA games sooner or later. I just don't think that it's going to be realistic by May. But again, it's fluid. If it gets better by the 30-day hiatus in April 11, I mean, maybe May, or you could possibly see June. But I think it's very, like, fluid and things, like, change. So I could definitely – the earlier better. I don't want to cancel Lakers season because the Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference, and I would love to see us play a playoff series this year.
Do you think if they do start playing, do you think they'll first do it behind closed doors?
I think it's going to depend a lot about where they're at April 11 when they have the Board of Governors meeting April 11. I think a lot of cities are projecting that their numbers are going to go up. So California has a lockdown. New York has a lockdown. So I think a lot is going to depend where individual states are. Florida doesn't have the amount of cases that the other cities have. But like you saw with the NFL, their facilities are shut down. So I think a lot of it's going to have to be, unfortunately, without fans. A lot can change between now and April 11, but especially with the projections, and they're just projections, but especially with the projections of the number of coronavirus continues to, like, increase in, like, New York and California, I think those places, out of abundance and caution, since it's two of the largest states, the NBA is not going to take any chances with that. I think they're just going to have to, like, play without fans, even though it would kind of suck, because fans are really important, and I think they're pivotal. I think it would suck, but I think that they definitely will explore that before canceling the season.
I do miss some NBA games myself, but with crowds. The Clippers have bought – Steve Ballmer, the owner of the LA Clippers, purchased the LA Forum, the former Lakers stadium. They bought it for a few million dollars, $400 million, and have plans to build a new arena for the Clippers. Kailu, is it time for them to have their own stadium?
Yes, I was very excited as a Laker fan. I mean, the Staples Center opened in 1999. It's been our building since. The Clippers have never made it to a conference championship in the history of the Clippers. The Lakers have 16 banners. And as a Laker fan, I was pretty excited when I saw construction. They haven't started the construction. I mean, he's going to buy it, and they got to do a bunch of environmental tests before the construction goes up. And hopefully in 3 or 4 years, the Clippers are definitely out at the Staples Center. And the building can definitely go back to being the Lakers, because I get tired of the Lakers banners having to be covered during Clipper games. So I definitely was very excited as a Laker fan for selfish reasons about the Clippers moving out shortly.
The Staples Center, which was built by Kobe Bryant. No, not really, because in 99,
sure.
Kobe Bryant didn't really peak at that time. He was still, you know.
Well, he was an all-star. He was an all-star.
He was an all-star, but it's probably his second season.
Yeah, he was.
Or second or third. I don't know. Anyways, random question, which is not really a random question. Should the NFL postpone the draft? Kailu says no, right?
No, no.
79% of fans say no on the sports guys, and the rest said yes, 21. So everyone wants to see NFL draft continue. I agree. There's no sports action. Anyways, that's a whole nother podcast to debate why it's a big deal, but physicals and the whole action with the studio. I think the studio will be exciting. Hopefully we'll be Boomer and some ESPN All-Star Cats, of course, NFL Network. Kailu, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Todd Gurley?
They can reach me on Twitter and on Instagram at KailuBorden12.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Free agency news is trickling in throughout this week as well. Last week was a big week. This week, not so much, but some good news anyways. Anyways, always a pleasure. Kailu, I'll see you next time.
Thank you.